Welcome to Talk World Radio, a half-hour discussion of politics as if the people mattered. I'm David Swanson. This week on Talk World Radio, we welcome back Jeremy Brescher, whose latest great book is called The Green New Deal from Below. Jeremy, welcome back to Talk World Radio.
Good to be with you, David.
Thanks for coming on. Thanks for all the work you've done for so long, including this latest book, which I highly recommend to people. What is a Green New Deal from Below?
Well, folks may remember that about 5 years back, there was a sudden flood of news about the Green New Deal. There was a sit-in in Nancy Pelosi's office that was conducted by the youth climate group Sunrise. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, now better known as AOC, went to that sit-in and produced legislation calling for a Green New Deal. And the basic idea of the Green New Deal was a national mobilization for climate protection to transform our economy into a climate-safe economy. And above all, especially important to do that in a way that would create good jobs and union jobs for working people and would create far greater levels of social and racial justice for discriminated against groups in our society. And it was extremely popular from the beginning. Overwhelming majorities of people, even a majority of Republicans, supported most of the Green New Deal program, and overwhelmingly supported by Democrats and independents. It got a lot of momentum in Congress. But as you can easily imagine, the fossil fuel interests hated it and wanted nothing to do with the whole idea of a transition to a climate safe, fossil-free economy. And also corporate America and the richest segment of our society were not particularly interested in having a program that would create more well-being for those at the bottom, because they feared it might mean less well-being for those at the top. And so there was a tremendous opposition. In spite of the popularity of the Green New Deal, it was blocked in the Congress, first and foremost by Republican opposition, but also by conservative Democratic opposition, especially senators who were loyal followers and profiters from the fossil fuel investments. So the Green New Deal was pretty much stymied in Washington. And I wasn't clear what would happen, but I began noticing that there were local projects and programs springing up around the country that embodied the principles and the programs and the ideals of the Green New Deal. And they were happening in cities, they were happening in states, they were happening in local neighborhoods and communities. They were happening in unions. They were happening even in Native American tribes. Some of them called themselves the Boston Green New Deal or the California Green New Deal. Others didn't use the term, but had exactly the same idea of trying to protect the climate in ways that also protected working people and expanded justice. So I began writing about that. I found more and more, and eventually I realized they had to do a book on it. And that's where the book, The Green New Deal from Below, How Ordinary People Are Building a Just and Climate-Safe Economy, came to be.
So how, Jeremy Brescher, would you compare what some of these states and cities have done, Hawaii and Illinois and California, to mention some of the states, with the original proposal for a national Green New Deal, or if you prefer, with what we would actually need to preserve life on Earth as we know it?
Well, first of all, I want to make it clear that you can't solve the problem of climate change or the problem of social justice village by village, city by city, state by state. That will require a national effort and, as you implied, a global effort. And that's where we have to go. However, at this point, especially facing an even greater domination of the national arena by fossil fuel interests and by the corporate and plutocratic, well-to-do, tiny minority of our society, there's no place as good to start in fighting back and building the forces that are necessary for national and global transformation than to put down our buckets where we are and build Green New Deal type programs, as well as resistance to the Trump agenda, at a community and municipal and state level.
So it's not what's needed, but it's people going down fighting and people demonstrating what could be done on a larger scale, and demonstrating the political viability of it.
That's
What's being accomplished?
absolutely, those are absolutely central aspects of what there is to gain by doing this. Plus, the fact that it's also necessary for survival needs in terms of housing, food, education for our people. So, it's something that's desperately needed to in itself. And going beyond that, it's ways that we can create a good lives for ourselves and each other through just, for example, planting trees in deforested neighborhoods that make them be substantially cooler and more beautiful. So, which is part of the program of the Boston Green New Deal. So I think making a better life for ourselves and each other, showing examples, as you say, providing inspiring cases of how people did, in fact, get together to do the things that need to be done, at least in their own locations. And then you, those being building blocks, community level, city level, state level, for a political mobilization that says we don't want this horrible, destructive juggernaut that's being aimed at us. We're going to resist it and we're going to undermine it and we're going to create an alternative that will be so attractive that it will become the dominant force in what shaping what people want and what they're willing to do.
So what are some of the best examples of what's been done thus far in Boston or LA or Seattle or Illinois or California, et cetera?
Well, I think Boston is a great example. There's a Bo the Boston Green New Deal. The most visible leader of it was Mayor Wu, who was the mayor of Boston, was elected as a Green New Deal mayor. And just to give a few examples of the kinds of things that they've been doing, they've created a youth job corps for recruiting and training young people from impoverished neighborhoods for training and then jobs and creating job ladders into good jobs for people, many of them who have criminal records, many of them who have been completely excluded from a good, decent education and from access to the better parts of the job market. And is creating a youth jobs climate force, you giving them training and jobs and opportunities for further advancement in some of the poorest neighborhoods in the city. Transportation is a critical issue for people in the Boston area. And the Boston Green New Deal has been developing free transit, and at the same time, transforming the transit system from fossil fueled, mostly diesel buses to electric and climate safe forms of vehicles. And another example is that large proportion of poor people live in threatened low-lying areas that face severe flooding along the coast. And so they have been doing climate effect protection programs, both against flooding and also against heat waves. I mentioned planting trees. They also are providing cooling shelters and cooling kits for poor communities in the Boston area as a way of giving protection against the heat waves and other climate effects that we're already facing. And I'll give just one more example, which is that they've created a program for free meals for all 50,000 Boston area public school students. And those free meals are being prepared by a co-op that is Black and worker owned in one of the poorest neighborhoods in the Boston area. So it's creating jobs, it's providing for a direct need, and it's also using locally produced and environmentally soundly produced food from local farms. So it's meeting climate objectives, it's meeting worker objectives, it's meeting justice causes, and it is providing an absolute necessity, which is good food for kids.
We should be clear, I think, that there's a real mix here between efforts to slow the destruction of the habitable planet and preparation for the disasters that is for the heating and the flooding. It's a combination of both of these, as well as all the other objectives of justice and so forth.
Yeah. I would say that the great emphasis of most of the Green New Deal efforts at a state and local level have been we've got to stop the things that are causing climate change. But where you're a city and half of your people are being threatened by being flooded out or other things of that kind, obviously, as part of the dealing with the needs of people and organizing people to meet their needs, addressing also the protection against climate disasters is part of what you need to do. And I don't think there's any kind in this form, there's no contradiction between the two. You can easily see climate change protection strategies that would involve building, for example, dikes around rich neighborhoods and other forms that would then be used as an excuse. Well, we don't have to worry about climate change because we're going to protect the people who really matter. And in fact, you can see a lot of that kind of thing going on. But I don't think that that's a danger or a central aspect of the Green New Deal from below programs that I've looked at. I think they're strongly oriented toward sharp reductions in fossil fuel burning and rapid transition to climate safe energy and economy. And they treat protecting threatened people as just part of what you have to do to make a decent way of life. As you're fighting both climate change and other forms of injustice.
Yeah, it does seem like there's a helpful dose of demand for social justice built into all of these programs, the creation of jobs that goes back to the original New Deal and the free rides on the trains in Boston, that's been a demand for probably that long or close to it since the song about Charlie riding on the MTA. I mean, there's a lot being done in single packages here that I think people should find very encouraging.
I'll give you one more example of how the social justice and climate pieces are fitted together by Green New Deals from below. And in this case, well, many of them, including but not limited to Boston. So there is, of course, a widespread movement to shut down coal-fired power plants, which are among the worst polluters and which are centered around poor working class immigrant and people of color communities. And so, for example, in the Illinois legislation for jobs and climate protection, there is a plan for rapid phase out of coal burning power plants throughout the state, which is not only a crucial element of climate protection, but also a way of reducing the truly devastating asthma levels that the poor communities near the power plants experience. And at the same time, there's protection, a workers' bill of rights that provides for a just transition for the any workers who are adversely affected in coal mines or power plants or other occupations to have alternative jobs. And there's even a wage supplement program if the new jobs they get are lower paid than the fossil fuel jobs they had before. There's a wage supplement to cushion that effect. Then there is a specific plan to build new green energy systems in the places where power plants are being closed down to create alternative jobs there, and also to steer investment more broadly into communities that are being affected by the shutdown of fossil fuel facilities so that they can have economic development and a tax base that'll pay for their schools as well as jobs. So this is very much these Green New Deal from below initiatives are very much bringing together climate with jobs and social justice.
It just seems so frustratingly a demonstration of what might have done so much better had it been done sooner and larger. It's not, a national rail system like you might see in Asia or Europe. It's not a national energy policy or a global energy policy. And it's not just that, but some of the states that are doing these things, other states are doing the exact opposite, as you discuss in the book, are actually actively, masochistically working to worsen the problem, intentionally, it seems.
Yes, and certainly we are about to witness a full bore example of that at the national level, which will no doubt be imitated by many states. So that is certainly something that I and you, and I'm sure many of your listeners, feel the burden of very heavily. And the thing is that when people say, well, look around for an alternative and where to find the things that might start pushing back in the opposite direction, the Green New Deal from below is certainly not in itself an adequate answer to the realities that you're describing, but I think it's a very important part of the first steps of creating a pushback and a countering of the terrible reality that you described that we're facing.
And it would have been needed anyway, even with decent policies at the federal level. You would still need states and cities to take action. And here are a bunch of states and cities saying, hey, we can go ahead and take action without waiting on a corrupt government in Washington, which is a wonderful thing, right? I mean, we still would have needed cities to do basically all of these terrific things you've written about.
Absolutely. And the plans for a national Green New Deal were, in fact, largely based on supporting left efforts at city and state and other lower levels. And the Green New Deal, as a national plan, recognized from the start that every locality is different. And that the people who live there basically have to be deeply involved with shaping whatever kinds of solutions are going to be applied. And so the plans were for massive national support for those efforts, but very much oriented toward supporting local st and state level and union level initiatives. That people were taking themselves at a grassroots level, but that of course could be enormously amplified by federal support.
The sections of the book about labor unions are very interesting as well. Mixed bag, of course, but it's I suppose somewhat encouraging that you document the extent to which even the most fossil fuel dependent labor unions are also pushing sustainable energy and green industrial productions, right?
One of the most surprising to me and impressive examples was a battery production startup for batteries for solar energy that was created in Appalachia. And the mine workers union has been one of the most skeptical about all proposals for a transition from fossil fuel energy to climate safe energy. Not surprisingly, they're very concerned about their members' jobs in the coal industry. But their members have, in fact, lost thousands and thousands of jobs, not primarily because of climate pollution, because of climate protection, but because the coal has, in many instances, become non-competitive with gas and increasingly with solar and other climate-safe forms of energy. So, coal miners have been losing their jobs. And the people who are starting this battery company went to the United Mine Workers Union and said, you know, gee, we wonder if we could cooperate with you on this. And the mine workers said, well, our members need jobs. We have hundreds and thousands of unemployed members. And frankly, we don't see why they have to work in the coal industry. We would be just as happy to have them have jobs in the solar industry. And so the company developed a cooperative arrangement with the United Mine Workers Union, and the Mine Workers Union recruited 300 unemployed miners to be the core of the workforce in this electric battery producing factory. And then they said, you know, well, we believe it. We wish there were jobs for in the coal industry for these people, but in fact they need jobs, and we have no we'll, we will support doing this. So even in that extreme case, you can see that unions have a strong interest in efforts that will make good jobs for their members in non-polluting and even in climate protecting industries.
We're speaking with Jeremy Brescher, and the book is called Green New Deal from the Green New Deal from Below. We've got just about 2 minutes left. These cases in this book seem ever more relevant as the government in Washington, D.C. seems ever more corrupt and incapable of useful action. What do you hope people do? What do you hope that people learn and act on, who read the book?
Well, Green New Deals from below are something that people can do anywhere in their own settings, in their unions, in their neighborhood, in their city, in their state. And they provide a way to address the concrete problems that people are facing in those settings, and they will be facing with far greater intensity as the Trump administration guts federal support for the things people need. So the key to these Green New Deal from below efforts is that different groups reach out to each other and participate with each other, unions, minority and discriminated against communities, environmental and climate protectors. And so what I hope people will do is think about how they can reach out to each other across those silos and connect and begin formulating programs wherever they are for their own Green New Deals from below. It can start very small. The book has lots of illustrations of ways in which people have made this process go. And it has more than 100 examples around the country of how they've done that in 40 different states. So people can find ways to do it just about anyway and anywhere. And I hope that they will start doing so wherever they are.
Well, it's going to take a lot of effort and creativity and resistance. We may see federal efforts to ban state and local actions that are aimed at saving life on this planet. But I hope people can read the Green New Deal from below and get inspired and do similar things locally wherever you are. Jeremy Brescher, thank you for everything you're doing and for continuing to write great books. Thanks for coming on Talk World Radio.
Great. Thanks a lot, David.
This is Talk World Radio. I'm David Swanson. Take action at rootsaction.org. Help end war at worldbeyondwar.org. Read or listen to today's Peace Almanac entry at peacealmanac.org. All past shows can be heard at talkworldradio.org. Talk World Radio is produced in Charlottesville, Virginia, and syndicated by Pacifica Network. There is no way to peace. Peace is the way.